WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. We've got a fantastic hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there as we will recap what took place this morning at the press conference of MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio. Of course, a lot of chatter surrounded around the Spartan football team, seeing as though, the team sits at 2-2 on the year, coming off back-to-back losses to start the conference season against Wisconsin and, of course, Indiana on the road. They will have a non-conference matchup coming up this weekend on Saturday afternoon, a 3:30 p.m. kickoff against Brigham Young University. We will chat about that upcoming matchup, and you'll get to hear what Coach D has to say concerning Tyler O'Connor on whether or not the goals have shifted this year. Also, a few key injuries. Yeah, some big names that we won't see on the gridiron this weekend, as well as Coach D's thoughts on Malik McDowell having to sit out the first half of this weekend's game due to a targeting hit against Indiana on Saturday. Also, Jim Caldwell, head coach of the Detroit Lions, he addressed his job security with the team next year. Interesting comments there. And also, our guest for today's Current Sports will be Mr. Jeremy Miller, head coach of the Pomona Westphalia football team, the number two squad in Division 7. All of that and so much more. But hey, you know how we start Current Sports. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with some news concerning the Michigan State men's soccer team. Ryan Sierakowski was named to the College Soccer National Team of the Week after leading the Spartans to wins over Bowling Green and Ohio State. Now, Sierakowski leads Michigan State in scoring with 4 goals and 1 assist for 10 points. All 4 of his goals this year have been game winners. Sierakowski's 11 career goals are 6th most in MSU history, and his 6-game winning goals are tied for 2nd most in school history. Now, the Spartans will host a pair of games this week at DeMartin Stadium against Western Michigan this Wednesday, October 5th at 4 p.m., and Wisconsin on Sunday, October 9th at 1 p.m. 2017 5-star offensive tackle Alex Leatherwood took an official visit to Michigan this weekend and said via Twitter that it was, quote, by far the best visit I've ever been on, end quote. And he will definitely be back. Leatherwood, a 6'6", 327 pounds, is the number 2 offensive tackle and number 5 overall recruit in the 2017 class, according to the 247 Sports Composite rankings. Now, Leatherwood committed to Alabama in June of 2015, but Michigan hoping to steal one there. Detroit Lions head coach Jim Caldwell said that he has met with general manager Bob Quinn, but would not disclose whether his job security has been discussed. Now, the Lions are coming off a 1-3 start to the year after losing 17-14 this past Sunday against the now 1-3 Chicago Bears. The Lions' 3 losses have come by a total of 11 points. The Lions have also been dealing with injuries to key players, such as linebacker DeAndre Levy, defensive end Ziggy Ansah, and running back Amir Abdullah. Caldwell said that he believes the Lions are capable of making a turnaround similar to last year's 6-2 finish. After his 4-game NFL suspension, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is back. On Monday, Brady confirmed his presence at Gillette Stadium in his first public comments since his return. The Pats are 3-1 without Brady, but are looking to bounce back from a 16-0 loss to Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. Brady's first game this year will be this Sunday when the Pats visit the 0-4 Cleveland Browns. If there's any team in the NFL worse than the Lions, it definitely is the Browns. All right. The Detroit Red Wings have cut their roster down to 48 players as they enter the last week of preseason play. The Wings assigned left wing Adam Marsh to the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League's Val-d'Or Forest and released right wing Colin Campbell from his professional tryout. Now, Campbell will join the Grand Rapids Griffins for their training camp. The Wings will have to further cut their roster down to 23 players for the start of the regular season. Barry Bonds, yeah, his return to baseball has been short-lived. Bonds was fired as the Miami Marlins hitting coach after 1 year. The Marlins offense did improve slightly under Bonds as they were fourth in the league with a .263 batting average, but were only 13th with a .322 on-base percentage and 27th with a .394 slugging percentage. The Marlins were without Giancarlo Stanton and D. Gordon for most of the year due to an injury to Stanton and Gordon's PED suspension. The team has yet to issue a reason why Bonds was let go. There are so many jokes that I want to crack off right now, but I'll reserve them, all right? Maria Sharapova's ban has been reduced from 2 years to just 15 months, and she can return to the court as early as April 26, 2017. The International Tennis Federation banned Sharapova after she tested positive for melatonin, which is a heart disease drug known as meldodrontate, at the 2016 Australian Open. Now, melatonin became a banned substance on January 1st of this year. Sharapova claims she has been taking the drug since 2006 for health problems and never used it to enhance her performance. And last but not least, Baylor Title IX coordinator Patty Crawford has resigned in the wake of sexual assault scandals at the university. Now, the school said that Crawford, quote, was disappointed in her role in implementing the recommendations that resulted from the Pepper Hamilton investigation, end quote. Crawford's resignation came hours after two women who said they were sexually assaulted at Baylor were added to a Title IX civil rights lawsuit against the school. We'll have more on that story later on in the hour. If you have anything that you want to get off your sports noggin, if you want to get off your chest, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports, where you can catch the live stream of the show online. You can also tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. A jam-packed show. Let's get right to it.
Supply and demand, instant gratification world that we're living in. You guys all know that. And so, you know, you get, you know, when the good things come, you get probably an overabundance of praise. And when the bad things come, you know, you might get an overabundance of criticism as well. But You know, that's why that's wired. That's, you know, you're hired to, you know, I guess steer the ship or whatever you want to say, you know, in the stormy waters. You know, you can't always just be floating along with the sail. You know, so, but I will say this, you know, in when you have problems, there's usually great growth. There's leadership growth. There's growth in terms of what it takes to be able to accomplish things. And you know, that's natural. So nobody felt like we'd be 2-2 at this point during the season. I'm sure most people thought we'd be 4-0. But here we are. So and it's a place we haven't been for a while. But doesn't mean we're not going places. So we'll get there.
Yes, that is how we start this afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. And of course, that was the voice of MSU head football coach, Mark D'Antonio, as he addressed the media this morning in the north end zone at Spartan Stadium at the Tom and Loopy Media Center. A lot of chat surrounded around the Spartan football team, seeing as though this is a team that has started the year 2-2. 2-2, folks. And actually, the first time they began Big Ten Conference play 0-2 since 2007. Odd times to be a fan of the Michigan State football team, especially in comparison to the success of this squad in recent years. We are talking about a team that competed in the college football playoff this year against Alabama, and now quite the rebuilding period, I would say, for the Spartans. Of course, Mark D'Antonio, as he chatted with the media this morning, he talked about how, of course, the team's goals are still in front of them. And technically that is true. You know, you never know in this crazy sports world what can happen week to week to week. But I just think that it's a bit unrealistic to expect Michigan to have a tremendous fall off, to expect Ohio State, who has been playing completely lights out, to not continue to do that. They look great from top to bottom, folks. And Michigan State will play Michigan and Ohio State late in the year. It's going to be two big games. And all you can do right now, Spartan fans out there, all you can do is just really root against Michigan and Ohio State. Hope that they can fall out to give Michigan State some sort of chance at still accomplishing the goal of playing for the Big Ten Championship out in Indianapolis in December. We'll see what happens, though. Want to note, before I go into a few other bullet points here that I want to map out from the Coach D'Antonio press conference, Mylon Hicks. Of course, Mylon Hicks, former football player for the MSU football team. Mark D'Antonio began today's presser by addressing Mylon Hicks. Mylon, who passed away, victim of a shooting in Canada. Mylon Hicks, his service will take place on Friday. So there will be many heavy hearts mourning his death that day. So I wanted to throw that out there before I go into my whole rant about what Coach D had to say. And, you know, we spent a lot of time on yesterday's Current Sports addressing what in the world is going wrong for Coach D'Antonio and his team, what went wrong against the Indiana Hoosiers on Saturday night. And many people are out there, of course, pointing the finger, I think more so than anybody else in the team, at Mr. Tyler O'Connor. And there are multiple areas that this team needs to improve on, not just at the quarterback position. But, you know, again, when you're the starting quarterback for a school like Michigan State, who has had, again, so much success in recent years, and you step into a role where you try to replace Connor Cook, and we all know about Connor Cook's resume, the most decorated quarterback in MSU history. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure there. And Tyler O'Connor by no means has had a lights-out start to this year. And he does shoulder some of the blame. So the question is, it's such an odd year, you know, the week two bye week, and now two games into the conference season, you play a non-conference opponent in Brigham Young. Just a weird schedule. So now, you know, you play a BYU team that has a lot of offensive power, but there are so many questions on that BYU defense. If you're Tyler O'Connor, you're looking at this game as a ideal rebound game, quote-unquote rebound game for you, because you can really light this defense up. Other teams have this year. But is Tyler O'Connor the guy? Well, you know, and we threw around this question on Saturday. Well, excuse me, on yesterday's Current Sports. Tyler O'Connor, you know, let's say MSU gets out to a big lead here. Will we see Brian Lewerke? Will we see Damian Terry out in the football field? Is this an opportunity to try and get other guys a chance, at the position behind center? Well, Coach D'Antonio was asked that this morning, and here's what he had to say.
Well, first of all, we're not cashing out this year yet. We're a 2-2 football team. As far as the out of conference game, you know, we need to win the football game. So what we have to do to win the football game, it's paramount that we win. In line of you know, everybody's getting reps in practice and those type of things, we'll make the best decisions for the team going forward as to who our quarterback is. And right now, you know, is Tyler O'Connor, and I think that the guy has leadership. I think he shows toughness on the field. I think he made plays. If we win the football game, if the head coach decides to go for two or we win the football game in overtime, he's the hero of the game. He took him down the field and scored. But because that didn't happen, you know, he gets thrown on the bus a little bit. So I don't think that's the reason we lost the football game. So as long as, you know, that guy's always got to be a productive player for us, there's no question about that. A lot of things going on with a lot of penalties that took away scoring opportunities in the football game earlier. Took us out of, you know, scoring position or whatever, put us in longer yard situations. So it's like I said, it's all inclusive. Got to come up with more turnovers. We're not winning the turnover battle, which we usually have done. This time it was even. You usually have done that throughout our time. We've got to pressure the quarterback more effectively, no question about that, and come away with sacks. Probably the most important thing is every game starts with 15 minutes on the clock, and you got 60 minutes to play. So regardless of what's happened in the past, you have an opportunity to make it right and to play forward and to, you know, start to improve those particular situations that allow you to win a game. So that's what we have to do. I think there's conviction on our football team. I know our football team and everybody's hurting a little bit, and they'll be ready to play. I'm quite confident they'll be ready to play.
So Tyler O'Connor is the guy. I think we can put that conversation to bed now. I mean, As much as Spartan fans out there, as much as you guys are frustrated about the play of Tyler O'Connor, the alternative in Brian Lewerke and possibly Damian Terry, I mean, D'Antonio knows what he's doing here. There's a reason why he's the starting quarterback. If there was any inclination that Terry or Lewerke could do a better job, you better believe that Coach D would have made that decision already. Now, I think what has to do a lot with the wariness of this whole quarterback situation with a lot of Spartan fans out there who are criticizing Tyler O'Connor is, and I chatted with Luke Robbins, our current sports production assistant, about this before the show. I think a lot of it has to do with a flashback of what took place back in 2012, the situation with Andrew Maxwell. And that was just a foggy situation, okay? So I don't know if the confidence for those that look at Tyler O'Connor's play and are wondering why he's still the starting quarterback. Well, again, you look at Tyler's numbers. Again, looking back at Tyler's numbers, they weren't bad on Saturday. It was just those, you know, in that overtime drive really stands out where Tyler, you know, took those sacks. That didn't look good at all. Tyler's good for about at least 3 to 4 underthrows or overthrows. He's not an accurate quarterback. Those moments really stand out. But I think what has to do with a lot about the awareness of what's taking place at behind center is the way that the situation was handled with the quarterback situation back in 2012, and they may feel like it's a repeat of what took place back then. Totally different situation, folks. Again, you got to trust Coach D. You would think evaluating the quarterback play throughout training camp, evaluating practice after practice on a week-to-week basis, if there was any inclination that the second or third string QB could do a better job, I think Coach D would have made that decision already. We're two games into the conference year. This is as best as it's getting right now at that position. Okay, folks? It amazes me, though. I mean, because people are quick to have the back of the guy that they have never seen. Why? Because what they're seeing isn't up to par. And I get that. I totally get that frustration. But you also had to sit back and think, okay, this is Mark D'Antonio we're talking about here. This is a man who has won Big Ten championships. This is a man who has completely turned around this program after getting the program in weary straits, to say the least, during the John L. days. He knows what he's doing. There has to be trust, and I don't know where that trust level is when it comes to certain Spartan fans. So, moving forward here, I want to play a few more snippets here. Coach D'Antonio on goals, because I mentioned how the goals, in my opinion, have to shift a bit here. Because, and again, all you can do is just go out there and win at the end of the day. But when you start the conference year off 0-2, it's pretty tough to shoot for those goals that you previously had to enter the year. But hey, as a head coach, you got to stick to your guns, and you have to keep hope alive. Here is Coach Mark D'Antonio on his goals shifting, possibly, this upcoming year. Are they shifting? Well, Coach D has a quick answer to that one.
Well, our goals are still in our own hands in terms of what we can accomplish here, first of all. How would I respond? You know, I guess that with that little stat that you gave us, I don't want to be too critical, but some guys, you know, they've been born on third. You know what I mean? They haven't experienced the pain that others have gone through to get to this place, to where it's at. And sometimes you need to go back and you need to take stock in where this place has come from, what has happened to get it to there. It just doesn't happen. Just because you go up here doesn't mean that you automatically got to win. That's whether you're coaching, or that's whether you're the head coach and had that success. You have to re-examine what you're doing, re-examine how you're doing it, and make some good decisions. And as a player, you have to dig deep a little bit sometimes. But I think when you do dig deep, there's build equity. You invest. And in that investment comes success. And sometimes that you just think it's going to happen just because you show up. It doesn't necessarily going to happen because everybody's got players. Everybody's got a plan. Everybody's trying to work that plan, and everybody's trying to do the same thing. And there's a ton of parity in college football. Just look around, you know. I really didn't have a chance to look around college football or pro football this weekend, but just look around. I mean, the parity in college football, the players and the teams that people have, and some places are coming out of nowhere. Some places are going the other direction. So we need to get ourselves together and get ourselves ready to play and get ready to go. But that's what I would say, you know. But that's an enlightening stat. That's a good stat. That's a great stat. And I guess we'd be proud of that stat. But at the same time, look and say, how much pain have we suffered? It just doesn't happen. There's got to be some growth. We've got a young football team in a lot of respects.
That right there is a snippet based on expectations, folks. Expectations are what drive the overall perception of success or failure when it comes to any sports team. Michigan State is a team that, again, in the last, what, 4 or 5 years, has had an expectation of reaching for the stars, whether that means winning a conference championship, whether that means having a spot playing in the Rose Bowl, whether that means having a spot in the college football playoff. And now I think the expectations, I mean, you know, reach higher was the theme last year. Reaching higher for a national championship. That's what Coach D means. I mean, they've been to the college football playoff, reaching higher. And I think I thought it was interesting how Coach D brought up a point to say that, you know, he talked about some of his younger players, quote unquote, being born on third, being born on third base. I love that saying because they've always been close to home, to scoring. You know, they don't know what this program was like when they were going through really that rebuilding phase, okay? Not sniffing Big Ten championships every year, not even being in the conversation of a national championship. They don't know what it's like because since they've been with the program, Michigan State has been to a college football playoff, for goodness sake. They don't know what it's been like for this program to be down in the dumps and to have to crawl itself out year after year after year. They haven't experienced that feeling of pain going through those tough times in the lost column. Now, I think that that's very interesting, but I also think the counter argument to that is, I believe this, if you want to continue to be in the conversation of the elite of the Alabamas, you have to sustain success, and you can't have years where you drop off. You just can't. If you want to be in that conversation, you have to deal with turnover because that's what the great programs do, and I still think MSU is trying to figure out how to do that. Folks, we're taking your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We do have Ray on line one. Before we get to Ray's snippet, again, there's a big loss, two big losses for this Michigan State football team this upcoming weekend. Riley Bulla has not played since Notre Dame. Here's a quick injury update for you.
Riley will not play this week. Okay, so I'll give you that update. But I think he's close to playing. But as of right now on Tuesday, I don't think he will be. I think the others will play.
Also, Raekwon Williams, folks, will be out, quote, a couple of weeks, end quote. Big losses, Isaac. Big losses.
Huge. This team, they've suffered their fair share of setbacks in terms of injuries as well. It's not simply been misfortune or performing underneath expectations. There have been injuries that have played the part on the offensive line, too. I mentioned yesterday how Brian Allen's injury in the course of that Indiana game changed the outcome entirely. Having to shift him back to left tackle when he was less than 100%, not sure if it was the right call, but obviously you'd want him healthy in the first place. But Raekwon Williams had a good game against Indiana, And now you deal with Raekwon Williams hurt and Malik McDowell out for the first half of BYU, that's a big blow right there.
Yeah, and those red shirts that got burned earlier this year, we're going to see guys like Austin Robertson, of course, guys like Josh King coming and try to fill that void. But we saw so many injuries on Saturday, Isaac. But we saw, of course, Riley Bulla didn't play. John Reschke, Chris Fry, Darian Hicks went down. Raekwon, as we just addressed, you brought up Brian Allen. LJ Scott went out for a minute, came back in. I mean, goodness. And that's the thing, though, about this weird schedule. You don't have the luxury of having a bye week in the middle of the year to recuperate and to heal those injuries. So,
great point. Yeah.
It's going to be very tough for this team to try and stay healthy as the year moves along. Before we hit our first break, let's go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana on the line. Ray, what's up, my man?
Well, I wanted to talk about Arnold Palmer, but I'm going to talk about State for a second before that, okay?
Yeah.
You guys had a great run. I mean, you've had four or five great years. I mean, it just looks like it's going to be one of those years frustrating for you, but everybody goes through it. Look at Michigan. The Bullies have been bad for 10 years in a row. They're finally a great team this year. But, you know, Wisconsin had their chances. They had three or four guys wide open, and the guy couldn't hit them. I was worried about him being a redshirt freshman. He couldn't make the plays when they had the chances, or they would have beat Michigan.
Yeah, and you got to give a lot of credit to that Michigan defense, though. That Michigan defense is one of the best defenses in the entire nation. They were able to get pressure on Alex Hornibrook, something that Michigan State wasn't able to do the week prior to, and you see what it led to. You put a quarterback in a tough position where he's constantly have to have his head on a swivel based on the pressure in the pocket, and you see what can happen when you throw on a freshie. So, credit.
You know, I got to give Michigan credit. They're not turning the ball over here. They only had one interception last week. No fumbles. I mean, they're doing a lot of runs. You'd think they'd have a few fumbles, but that guy's really got them hanging on the ball like you know, the Patriots did till they lost this last game with some turnovers, you know?
Definitely. Props to Michigan. They are a really good team this year. And I think they do have a legit shot at making the playoff this year, Ray.
Hey, I was jogging. I come home, and you know what was on TV?
I want to guess, because I think Isaac said you want to talk about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My favorite golfer, Arnold Palmer.
Right. Arnold Palmer. I know
I was 11 years old. He won the Masters in 1960. And I seen him and the way he come from behind. He was so exciting with his swing. And Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and ended up being my favorite golfer. Gary Player, the big three, you know?
Wow. I'm telling you, Arnold Palmer was I mentioned when we heard about the passing of Palmer, he's an icon. You know, I think that goes beyond legend, you know. He's certainly a legendary golfer, but he's an icon, and he was a pioneer for the game for so many years up until his death at the age of 87. But really unbelievable stuff. And I believe, are they having a memorial service for Arnold Palmer right now, Ray?
They had Jack Nicklaus there, Tom Watson, Tiger Woods, all of them are there for a memorial there in Pennsylvania. And at the end, I had to cry because they were singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. The Lord is marching on, and at the end of the thing, and all left the church.
Yeah, he will be missed. I know his private funeral was held on Thursday, but I know this one was open to the public, this memorial service, that is. So Arnie will certainly be missed, Ray, without a doubt.
Well, it's going to be tough when Jack Nicklaus dies and Gary Player.
Oh, boy. Don't even want to think about it. Yeah.
I know, and I'm praying that they got a lot of years left. You know, Gary Player does like 1,000 setups every day.
Hey, that's how you add years onto your life, right? Just like you running 5 miles every day.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you. Either you take care of your body or you don't. God gives you one chance, and you better take care of your body.
You got it. Ray, always good
God
chatting
bless
with you,
buddy.
You take care.
I pray for your team. You pray for pray for my family. I pray for yours.
My man, Ray. Gotta love. Thank you so much, Ray. Right. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite our guest for today's show, Jeremy Miller, the head coach of the Pomona Westphalia football team, the number 2 team in Division 7 football. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Man up up in the air, and I run around, round, round, round this downtown and act like I don't care. So when you see me flying by the planet's moon, you don't need to explain if everything's changed. Just know I'm just like you. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I tell you what, last week, Isaac, on Friday night, it was such a rainy, rainy evening. And I know you were out at a game.
At the Sexton game,
At the Lansing-Sexton game. And we usually shoot the games and we post them on our website, but impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible out there last Friday. I mean, the rain just continued throughout the entire night. Just an type of a night. But there were some great games on the docket, I know. And one of those games that everyone was talking about throughout the entire week last week leading up to it was, of course, the Pomona Westphalia and Laingsburg game. Very entertaining stuff, folks. I mean, two teams that entered that matchup undefeated. Somebody's O had to go. And it happened to be the Wolfpacks, as Pomona Westphalia were able to really dominate that game throughout much of it. And I want to invite right now our guest for today's show. He is the head coach of the Pomona Westphalia football team, the number 2 team in Division 7. Jeremy, how you doing, my man? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Always good chatting with you. Now, first off, Jeremy, I want to go back to last season very briefly here, okay? You lost the Division 7 state championship last year to Ishpeming. Now, we talked about that on Current Sports TV when we had you on not too long ago. This year, you begin 6-0, outscoring opponents by an incredible margin, 287-20. Now, that loss last year has to be the gas in the tank fueling this team this year. Am I right?
Oh, for sure. That fuels us every single day. It's fueled the kids throughout the winter program and throughout the springtime, all our speed and conditioning and our lifting. They started lifting the Monday after we lost in the final, so it has definitely been the fuel that's propelled us so far this year.
How much do you guys talk about last season's finish? Because you return 9 starters on both sides of the ball.
We don't refer to it, I guess, a lot specifically. We don't want to dwell on the fact that, you know, the game didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to. We more talk about finishing and, you know, the goals that we have. But in terms of actually referring to that game, we don't do it a whole lot. We more try to focus on the process and getting better every single week. It's just always kind of there in the back of everybody's minds that that we know what we're talking about when we start to talk about finishing games and getting things done right.
Now, you talk about those goals, Jeremy. Obviously, I mean, coming to this year, you guys want to get back to that point and win the state championship. State championship or bust, is that the goal for this team?
Well, we have a couple goals. You know, number one is to win the CMAC, and then, of course, you want your district and your regional, and you want to go to the finals. But I wouldn't say necessarily that it's a bust thing, because in the end, a lot of things have to go right for you, and you have to be playing a high level of football. So our goal is more of a week-to-week kind of goal of continually getting better, continually improving, and being, you know, just a solid football team, mostly be peaking at the right time, which is at the end of the year.
Let's go to what happened on Friday night, a rainy, muddy night. You know, I tell you what, classic football, though. I love watching games in the rain and mud and under harsh weather conditions. Not fun for the players, and I imagine not fun for the coaching staff either. But as a fan of high school sports and as a fan of just the sport of football in general, it's really cool to watch because, you know, game plans adjust based on, you know, Mother Nature. And last week, you guys toppled over a Lanesburg team that, as I mentioned, entered that matchup 5-0. The final was 40-7 when the rain-soaked night was said and done. How were you able to control that game against the Wolfpack under those conditions?
Well, they were really tough conditions, and I think that the conditions were tough for both teams. Obviously, we both had to play on it. I've never played on a field like that before. In the semifinals last year, we were playing with 8 inches of snow. I'd take 8 inches of snow over inches of mud any day.
Why is that, Jeremy? Why is that?
Well, you know, the footing was just terrible. I mean, you were sinking in, and you'd go out, walking out to the hashes, and you'd be sinking in the mud, you know, down to your ankles.
Oh, my goodness.
When we were done, it looked like a herd of buffalo had come through that field. I don't know how they're ever going to play on that thing again this year. But we were just able to. They scored first. We really hurt ourselves in the beginning with some holding penalties. Our opening touchdown got brought back because of a hold. And then they were able to hit a pass on us, and actually we're up 7-0. So we had to respond to some adversity, which is a good thing, which our kids did. After that, we were just able to control the line of scrimmage. I think we got our footing, and we got used to what the field conditions were, and we were able to control the line of scrimmage and let our running back and our quarterback do what they do, and that's make plays for us.
Yeah, Jeremy, when Nick Puttenham found Jordan Jones for that 69-yard touchdown in the first quarter to give Lanesburg the lead, did you think this was going to be a dogfight throughout much of this contest?
Well, we went into the game thinking it was going to be a dogfight, so it really kind of, I guess, went ahead and validated our expectations as the fact that Lanesburg was going to give us a good football game. From there, it just kind of turned on the fact that we were able to do some things up front. We were able to hold on to the football. I mean, we dropped it a few times, but we didn't turn it over, which was huge. Turnovers were going to be big in a night like that night. So between that and winning some field position stuff, we were able to take control of the game. But we knew coming in that Lanesburg had a good team and that it was going to be a dogfight.
Now, I'm going to get to your quarterback, Ryan Smith, in just a second. But I want to bring up Jared Smith. He's the area's leading rusher. We talked about him when we had you on CSTV last year. In what ways has he become a better player this season?
He's stronger than he was last season. Mm-hmm. He was a guy that was at every single weightlifting session. Anytime we had one, he was in there, and he lifts really hard. He pushes himself. He pushes others. So I think he's definitely a lot stronger than he was last year. His vision has improved from last year as well. I think he sees the field even better. So between those two things, the vision and the overall strength that he has, I think are improvements from last year, and he's definitely, you know, on pace to do some of the things that he did last year.
Yeah, and then watching that game on Friday, I mean, my goodness, he had a 95-yard touchdown. It was just my jaw was on the floor when watching that footage, Jeremy. When you look at, you know, just his overall body of work throughout his high school career, are any schools looking at him right now? I imagine. I mean, he's probably getting letters every day.
You know, it's actually been a little slower than what we had expected, just because I'm not sure if it's the time of the year or what. But I think a lot of schools look at it, and maybe his 40 time doesn't blow you off the, you know, doesn't jump off the sheet at you. But if you put a football in that kid's hand and you say tackle him, I would take him every time. And I think that colleges maybe are a little hung up on the 40 time. I'm not sure what the deal is. I can't answer that question for you. He's been getting some looks. He's been getting some visits and some different things. But, you know, you would think that with the body of work that he has in his resume, we would have expected that it would be a little bit more happening than what it is.
And what is his 40 time? And what are colleges looking? Is there a certain number that they're looking for? A 4.4, 4.3, something like that?
You know, I'm not sure. But, I mean, he's a 4.465, 4.7 kid, and he's 6 foot. 200 pounds, and he's strong. So to me, he's got the, you know, to me, and I think probably a little bit, honestly, the fact that we're a Division VII football team, I don't know if that has a little bit to do with it too, if we kind of fly under the radar a little bit for him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think his defensive play is something too that gets overlooked, because he's a heck of an outside linebacker for us as well, and I think that would be an option for him at the next level.
Does he have a school that he wants to play for at all? Has he expressed that to you, Jeremy?
I know he definitely wants to play somewhere. I know that he is focused in on the fact that he wants to play college football, and that he wants to play at the highest level that he can possibly play at. So I don't think specifically he has a school that he's targeting. I just know he wants to play.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Pullman-Westphalia football team, Jeremy Miller. Now, your quarterback, Ryan Smith, Jeremy, he had 3 rushing touchdowns in that game on Friday night. When you have a running attack like you all do, is there really any need to really fly the ball through the air and test your passing game? I mean, because you guys are pretty stout on the ground.
We're pretty stout on the ground. Ryan gives us that dimension from the quarterback position like he did Friday night, did a tremendous job for us. We do have some very, very good wide receivers, and if we need to, I'm very confident in our ability to throw the ball. We do want to establish the run. And when you establish the run up front like we have, you know, to come out and to throw the ball at certain times just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So throwing the football is something we actually do quite a bit of in practice, and we feel like we have it in our back pocket if we need it. But we're certainly a run-first, run-oriented football team.
What makes Ryan Smith the right guy under center for you guys? What's impressive about him?
Well, Ryan does a great job in running our offense. When teams are keying in on Jared, Ryan can take the ball and he can make a read and he can pull the ball down and make some things happen. He's very elusive. He's got a very strong lower body and he's got tremendous vision. Ryan kind of has, I would call it the it factor in a certain sense, where you just really don't know how he does some of the things he does, but he does a very good job with it. His throwing has improved tremendously from last year. Last year, I don't think he was where he is right now with his ability to throw the football. He's gotten a lot better through working through the summer and working with our coaches in that area of his game.
Jeremy, you have held opposition teams to a total of just, what, 27 points? I mean, that's really, that blows my mind when I think about that, Jeremy. Just to read some of the scores here for our listeners. I mean, you guys started the year with a 30-20 win. Played Dansville, 64-0 win. Saranac, 56-0 win. Bath, 76-0 win. I mean, these are like video game numbers. Middleton Fulton, 61-0, and then Langsburg, a 40-7 win. I mean, Jeremy, does that blow your mind? I mean, what is it about your defense that is getting the job done?
Well, our defensive coaching staff puts together a tremendous plan every week. They put a lot of time in it. I've got to give most of the credit, though, obviously, to the kids who are going out there and executing the game plan. We can throw a lot of different stuff at them, and they're able to go out onto the field and to actually, you know, translate that into playing action. We let them make a lot of adjustments during the game. This is everything from moving some defensive linemen around to making some calls. So our kids are very, very they're almost obsessed with watching huddle. A lot of the defensive players, a lot of those guys, our linebackers are constantly watching football film. And, you know, I think we have a lot of guys who could go on to be, you know, quality coaches with their knowledge of the game. So that makes it all the more easier for us to put in our game plan, and then they go out and execute it, and they've done that obviously very well.
Jeremy, you got Potterville, Fowler, and Hastings next in the final stretch of the year. What's your biggest test out of those three, you think?
Well, the biggest test for us is just to get better every week and to not, Potterville, they haven't won yet this year, but we need to approach this week like we did last week. We actually have to get better than we were last week, because this is the time of year when you really got to peak, and we look at it as it doesn't matter who we're playing. Our challenge is to continually get better and put out a better product on the field than we did the previous week. So I think our biggest challenge is just doing just that, is to every single week get better and to be playing your best football come playoff time, because that's ultimately when it really matters.
Of course, the magic number is 6 for every high school football team here in Michigan, and you guys are already 6-0 right now, Jeremy. Does the game plan change now when it comes to maybe resting some of your big-time players, knowing that you already are postseason eligible?
No, not really. I mean, we've always taken the approach that when the score gets to where we're confident, then we do rest our guys and we get our twos in, because our twos need reps as well. That's one of the reasons why, Jared hasn't played in the second half in a lot of these games, and a lot of our other starters haven't either. That's just kind of our philosophy, is that whenever possible, we want to get our twos in and get them some game reps to make sure that they're ready too. So as far as like resting players and stuff, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to continue with that same formula we've had all season.
Jeremy, final question for you here before we get you out of here. What's the buzz like around the school when it comes to the PW football team? Again, you go to a state championship last year. It's got to be pretty crazy on Friday nights.
It is. It's pretty crazy on Friday nights. Our community supports us like no other. They support Plum Australia community. They support their kids in everything that they do, not just football, but, they'll pack a cross-country meet, in the fall as well. So it is. It's a big deal. And, we definitely appreciate all the support that we get from all the good people that come out and they cheer us on every Friday. And, it's really a gratifying thing to play and to coach at a place where it means so much to people.
All right, again, on the 7th, this Friday, you guys take on Potterville. What kind of team is Potterville? What are you expecting in that matchup?
Well, they're going through a little bit of rebuilding process over there. They did have a forfeit here 2 weeks ago against Dansville. So I know that they're putting some things together, but, I'm sure that Potterville is going to come over and they're going to give us their best shot. And like I said, our main focus is just on getting better, doing things right, executing our game plan, and not taking a step backwards, because you can't do that this time of year.
All right, the head coach of the Pewamo Westphalia football team, Mr. Jeremy Miller. Jeremy, always good chatting with you. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, good luck on Friday, my man.
Thank you very much.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this afternoon's current sports by talking a little bit about the Lions, as Jim Caldwell, the head coach of the Honolulu Blue, addressed job security. Yeah, we'll chat about that. Also, the return of Tom Brady. How about that? That and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with Jeremy Miller, head coach of the undefeated 6-0 Pewamo Westphalia football team. P-Dub is the number 2 team in Division 7. And as I mentioned throughout that interview, I mean, looking at the last 3 games of the year, which I can't even believe. I mean, this high school football year has just flown by. They play Potterville on Friday. The week after that, Fowler, and then Hastings. And Potterville is a team that hasn't won a game all year. Fowler is a squad that has 4 wins on the year. And then you play Hastings, a team that has 2 wins on the year. I mean, I think it's safe to say, Isaac, that P-Dub can finish the year undefeated going into postseason play.
I think it's safe to say that they will. Jeremy's not going to say that, of course. He, of course, believes in his team, but he's going to be all diplomatic about it. But no, this is a team that time and time again has proven that they're one of mid-Michigan's best and one of the best Shoot, they proved it in the state tournament last year. They're one of the best in the entire state. So, no, they finished the year undefeated. I'd expect them to find out exactly where they rank in the state tourney and go through there as well.
Certainly. And again, they've already hit six wins to qualify, of course, for the postseason tourney. And, you know, if I'm Jeremy at this time, I would, because injuries happen. Crazy things happen on any given Friday night. I mean, yeah, I'm playing my starters, but when things immediately start to get out of hand, come to the bench. Why not?
Like, and you brought up nine starters returning.
Yeah.
One of those, Jared Smith. And Jared Smith is the best runner that we've seen in this division, in this region, in a long time. I'd be shocked if he doesn't get a little bit less touches as the season goes along. You need him full strength, full health for the state playoffs.
I totally agree. All right, less than 10 minutes here in the show. If you want to be a part of it, you can still call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We now invite our current sports production assistant, who joins us every Tuesday, Luke Robbins, to the show, and we are going to talk about the Detroit Lions. Luke, are you ready for this one? Do we have to?
Yeah. You got to. You know, it's always tough, but you got to.
Tough to say the least. Right now, the Lions hold a dismal 1-3 record. And, of course, they lost to the previously winless Chicago Bears. And, watching that game, I'm sitting there saying, this is the Chicago Bears we're talking about. And when watching that game, Luke, before the game even started, I went on the air last week Friday, and we previewed the Lions and Bears very briefly. I thought that this would be the ideal rebound game for the Detroit Lions. They come off a loss, and granted, no one expected the Lions to beat the Green Bay Packers. They did make it competitive late in that game. But you look at the Bears on the schedule, and this is a team who hadn't won all year, who was going through this whole quarterback change with Brian Hoyer. The defense not that great. And I said to myself, okay, this is a great opportunity for the Lions to get back on the winning track before they hit a really tough stretch in their schedule. Having to play, Wentz and the Eagles this upcoming Sunday, that's going to be a tall order. They lead the NFC East. And then they completely fumble it. I mean, 17-13 loss. I'm sitting there saying, are you kidding me? And now you hear all this chatter about Jim Caldwell, head coach of the Detroit Lions, Jim Caldwell on the hot seat. What do you make of this season so far for the Lions, and what must happen in order for Jim Caldwell to keep his job? Because I think right now he's already got one foot out the door, if you ask me.
I really don't see him keeping his job. The biggest thing, especially this Sunday, is that the Lions came out and they just did not look prepared. Mm-hmm. That game was a lot closer due to a punt return for a touchdown way late in that game. Matthew Stafford did not look good, probably had the worst game of the season. And this is a team that, the Bears have lost to Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, and Brock Osweiler. And you have Matt Stafford, who's looked really well the whole season, and just your offense can't do anything. Mm-hmm. It would take a miracle for him to come back again, and I don't think they're capable of making that run, the same run that they made last year, again this year.
Now, let's be real here. When you evaluate this upcoming, when you evaluated this upcoming season for the Detroit Lions, Bob Quinn coming in, and you look at Jim Caldwell, again, he's in his third year now as a Detroit Lions head coach, went to the playoffs in his first season. Mm-hmm. We all know how last season started and ended, right? No playoff hopes there. Now in his third year, and he has this kind of a start. Bob Quinn brought Jim Caldwell back because of, first off, glowing praise, I think, from Martha Ford. Mm-hmm. She liked Jim Caldwell. And also as possibly a trial period to see if Jim Caldwell really is the man for the job. And based on the first year, he gets him to the playoffs. Granted, they lose their first game of the playoffs. They don't get to advance. But at the same time, let's just see if Jim Caldwell can put this team back on a winning track and get them into the postseason. A bad start. Bob Quinn, I think, coming into this year, already knew in the back of his head that if this doesn't go right, I'm hiring my own coach. Because, of course, Bob Quinn, this isn't his guy. Am I correct?
I would agree. And he could kind of say, well, Caldwell was Martha Ford's guy. He can use him as a scapegoat.
Right.
And unfortunate, that's kind of what happens in the NFL. And I think that's probably what's going to end up happening here.
Yeah, 1-3 start. losses to the Titans and Bears, two teams that are combined 0-6 against everyone else. He started 1-7 last year. You know, Jim Caldwell did last year. And, you know, just questions. Now, again, I'm not a guy to put all of this on the shoulders of the head coach because that's not how I roll. Mm-hmm. I see the bigger picture here. The on-the-surface casual Detroit Lions fan will immediately blame the coach and Jim Caldwell. And granted, mm-hmm. he does deserve a lot of the blame. But this team, talent and depth-wise, they just don't have it, if you ask me, Luke. I think that there's so many questions. There's so many injuries for this team. You look at Golden Tate, and there's questions surrounding around him. Where has he been this entire year?
You tell me. I can't find him. You know, losing Calvin Johnson was a huge thing. But they replaced him. They added Anquan Boldin. You added Marvin Jones. And now fans were touting that, you know, this wide receiver corps might be the one of the top tiers in the NFL. But where were they Sunday? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And they just don't look prepared.
Yeah, and some of that has to do with the quarterback as well. I mean, Matthew Stafford, 23 of 36 for 213 yards. I mentioned yesterday how it was his, as you mentioned as well, Luke, his worst passing day since week 5 of last year when he was actually benched against mm-hmm. the Arizona Cardinals. 3 minutes left. Let's get to a call right now. Let's go to line 2. We've got Mike from Saginaw. Mike, welcome to Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports, Mr. L. Mike. Well, I want to say something. Thanks to Western Michigan for being undefeated and being in the top 25.
Oh, boy. I tell you what. Like I said yesterday, Western Michigan football fans, enjoy P.J. Fleck when you got him. Because I don't know how he's going to return next year for the Broncos team. He's going to be getting calls from here to Alaska, okay?
Yeah, he will. He's going to get some offers and stuff. Do you think Texas, if Michigan State was like Texas in football, would you fire Charlie Strong?
I think Charlie Strong is about to be done, Isaac. I think that, you know, when you inherit a program like Texas – everything's bigger in Texas, including championships, okay? You got to win. And again, I think that Charlie Strong – and I will say this, though. In Charlie Strong's defense, I think Charlie Strong was put in an impossible position, okay? That team just isn't good, and you expect him to make dirt into gold. That team just had unrealistic expectations placed on their shoulders before Charlie even got there. So in his defense, I will say that. But his days are limited now. His days are limited.
All right, then. I was just saying about the Lions and everything. Why is the Detroit media always overrate this team? This team is not good. Not good. I don't care what the media writing and free press and the news y'all got. Tell those guys they know better. They know better about the talent on this team. This team is not ready to compete for a division.
Yep, I agree. I agree with you.
Look, if Minnesota Vikings got a brand-new quarterback. They don't have Teddy Bridgewater. They went out and got Bradford, and you mean they 4-0?
Right, right.
And
that's frustrating, right, when you compare that to the Lions. Mike, we only got 1 minute left here. Thanks for the call.
Yes.
Make sure you call in tomorrow, all right?
I will.
You got it, man. All right, well, there we have it. I agree with him. I mean, you look at what Minnesota is able to do this year. Like, watching them last night. Oh, my goodness. All right, folks, we'll continue this conversation on tomorrow's Current Sports. Much thanks to Luke Robbins, of course, Isaac Constance, and also Jeremy Miller for joining us on today's show. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.